Sometimes I wonder if I'm going mad. Perhaps it is due to the pressure of knowing that I must somehow bear the burden of an entire world. Perhaps it is caused by the death I have seen, the friends I have lost, the friends I have been forced to kill. Either way, I sometimes see shadows following me, dark creatures that I don't understand, nor wish to understand. Are they perhaps some figment of my overtaxed mind?
It started raining just after they located the coin pouch. It wasn't a hard rain, but it seemed to clear the mist slightly. Vin pulled up her hood, crouching beside Kelsier on a rooftop. He didn't pay the weather much heed, so neither did she. A little dampness wouldn't hurt. In fact, it would probably help, as the rainfall would cover the sounds of their approach. Credit Shaw lay before them. The peaked spires and sheer towers rose like dark talons in the night. They varied greatly in thickness. Some were wide enough to house stairwells and large rooms, but others were simply thin rods of steel jutting up into the sky. The variety gave the mass a twisted, off-center symmetry, an almost balance. The spikes and towers had a foreboding cast in the damp, misty night, like the ash-blackened bones of a long-weathered carcass. Looking at them, Vin thought she felt something, a depression, as if simply being close to the building was enough to suck away her hope.
Our target is a tunnel complex at the base of one of the far-right spires. We're heading for a room at the very center of that complex.
What's inside?
I don't know. That's what we're going to find out. Once every 3 days, and today isn't one of them, the Lord Ruler visits this chamber. He stays for 3 hours, then leaves. I tried to get him once before, 3 years ago.
The job? The one that...
Got me captured, yes. At the time, we thought that the Lord Ruler stored riches in the room. I don't think that's true now, but I'm still curious. The way he visits is so regular, so odd. Something's in that room, Vin. Something important. Maybe it holds the secret to his power and immortality.
Why do we need to worry about that? You have the 11th medal to defeat him, right?
Kelsier frowned slightly. Vin waited for an answer, but he didn't ever give one.
I failed to get in last time, Vin. We got close, but we got there too easily. When we arrived, there were Inquisitors outside the room, waiting for us.
Someone told them you were coming?
We planned that job for months. We were overconfident, but we had reason to be. Mari and I were the best. The job should have gone flawlessly.
Kelsier turned to Vin.
Tonight, I didn't plan at all. We're just going in. We'll quiet anyone who tries to stop us, then break into that room.
Vin said quietly, feeling the chill rainwater on her wet hands and damp arms. Then she nodded.
No objections?
I made you take me with you. It's not my place to object now.
Guess I've been hanging out with Breeze too long. I just don't feel right unless someone tells me I'm crazy.
Vin shrugged. However, she felt it again, the sense of depression coming from Credit Shaw.
There is something, Kelsier. The palace feels wrong somehow.
That's the Lord Ruler. He radiates like an incredibly powerful soother, smothering the emotions of everyone who gets close to him. Turn on your copper. That will make you immune.
Vin nodded, burning copper. Immediately, the sensation went away.
Good?
She nodded again.
All right, then.
Kelsier gave her a handful of coins.
Stay close to me, and keep your ATM handy, just in case.
With that, he threw himself off the roof. Vin followed. She burned pewter as she fell and hit the ground with alimentically strengthened legs. Kelsier took off at a dash and she followed. Her speed on the wet cobblestones would have been reckless, but her pewter-fueled muscles reacted with precision, strength, and balance. She ran in the wet, misty night, burning tin and copper, one to let her see, the other to let her hide. Kelsier rounded the palace complex. Oddly, the grounds had no outer wall. Of course they didn't. Who would dare attack the Lord Ruler? Flat space covered in cobblestones was all that surrounded the Hill of 1,000 Spires. No tree, foliage, or structure stood to distract one's eye from the disturbing, asymmetric collection of wings, towers, and spires that was Credic Shaw.
Here we go.
Kelsier turned, dashing directly toward a squat, bunker-like section of the palace. As they approached, Vin saw a pair of guards standing by an ornate gate-like door. Kelsier was on the men in a flash, cutting one down with slashing knives. The second man tried to cry out, but Kelsier jumped, slamming both feet into the man's chest. The guard crashed into the wall, then slumped to the ground. Kelsier was on his feet a second later, putting his weight against the door and pushing it open. Weak lantern light spilled out of a stone corridor within. Kelsier ducked through the door. Vin dimmed her tin, then followed in a crouching dash. Never in all her time as a thief had she done something like this. Hers had been a life of sneaky burgling and scamming, not raids or muggings. As she followed Kelsier down the corridor, she nervously pulled out a glass dagger, gripping the leather-wrapped handle in a sweaty palm. A man stepped into the hallway just ahead, exiting what appeared to be some sort of guard chamber. Kelsier jumped forward and elbowed the soldier in the stomach, then slammed him against the wall. Even as the guard collapsed, Kelsier ducked into the room. Vin followed, stepping into chaos. Kelsier pulled a metal candelabrum from the corner up into his hands, then began to spin with it, striking down soldier after soldier. The other guard scrambled and grabbed staves from the other side of the room. A table covered in half-eaten meals was thrown to the side as men tried to make room. A soldier turned toward Vin, and she reacted without thinking. She burned steel and threw out a handful of coins. She pushed, and the missile shot forward, dropping him. She burned iron, pulling the coins back to her hand. She turned with a bloodied fist, spraying the room with metal, dropping three soldiers. Kelsier felled the last with his impromptu staff.
I just killed four men.
Before, Reen had always done the killing. Vin spun to see another squadron of soldiers enter through a door opposite her. To the side, Kelsier dropped his candelabrum and stepped forward. The room's four lanterns suddenly ripped from the mountings, flying directly toward him. He ducked to the side, letting the lanterns crash together. The room fell dark. Vin burned tin, her eyes adapting to light from the corridor outside. The guards, however, stumbled to a halt. Kelsier was amidst them a second later. Vin stood surrounded by death, bloodied coins dribbling from her stunned fingers. She kept a tight grip on her dagger, however, if only to steady her quivering arm. Kelsier lay a hand on her shoulder.
These were evil men, Vin. Every Ska knows in his heart that it is the greatest of crimes to take up arms in defense of the final empire.
Vin nodded numbly. She felt wrong. Maybe it was the death, but now that she was actually within the building, she swore that she could still feel the Lord Ruler's power. Something seemed to push her emotions, making her more depressed despite her copper.
Come, time is short.
Kelsier took off again, hopping lithely over corpses, and Vin felt herself following.
I made him bring me. I wanted to fight, like him. I'm going to have to get used to this.
They dashed into a second corridor, and Kelsier jumped into the air. He lurched, then shot forward. Vin did the same, leaping and seeking an anchor far down the corridor, then using it to pull herself through the air. Side corridors whipped past. Ahead, two soldiers stepped into the corridor. Kelsier slammed feet first into one, then flipped up and rammed a dagger into the other's neck. Both men fell.
No metal.
Vin dropped to the ground.
None of the guards in this place wear metal.
Haze killers, they were called. Men trained to fight Allomancers. Kelsier ducked down a side corridor, and Vin had to sprint to keep up with him. She flared pewter, willing her legs to move faster. Ahead, Kelsier paused, and Vin lurched to a stop beside him. To their right was an open, arching doorway, and it shone with a light far brighter than that of the small corridor lanterns. Vin extinguished her tin, following Kelsier through the archway and into the room. Six braziers burned with open flames at the corners of the large dome-roofed chamber. In contrast to the simple corridors, this room was covered with silver-inlaid murals. Each obviously represented the Lord Ruler. They were like the windows she had seen earlier, except less abstract. She saw a mountain, a large cavern, a pool of light, and something very dark. Kelsier strode forward and Vin turned. The center of the room was dominated by a small structure, a building within the building. Ornate, with carved stone and flowing patterns, the single-story building stood reverently before them. All in all, the quiet, empty chamber gave Vin a strange feeling of solemnity. Vin followed Kelsier in a nervous crouch. The room seemed empty, but there had to be other guards. Kelsier walked up to a large oaken door set into the inner building, its surface carved with letterings Vin didn't recognize. He reached out and pulled open the door. A steel inquisitor stood inside. The creature smiled, lips curling in an eerie expression beneath the two massive spikes that had been pounded point first through its eyes.
Vin! Run!
The inquisitor grabbed Kelsier by the throat. Vin froze. To the sides, she saw two other black-robed inquisitors stride through open archways. Tall, lean, and bald, they were also marked by their spikes and intricate ministry eye tattoos. The closest inquisitor lifted Kelsier up into the air by his neck.
Kelsier, the survivor of Hatsin.
The creature turned toward Vin.
And you, I've been looking for you. I'll let this one die quickly if you'll tell me which nobleman spawned you, half-breed.
Kelsier pried at the creature's grip. The Inquisitor turned, regarding Kelsier with spike-end eyes. The Inquisitor curiously pulled Kelsier a bit closer. Kelsier's hand whipped out, ramming a dagger into the creature's neck. As the Inquisitor stumbled, Kelsier slammed his fist into the creature's forearm, shattering the bone. The Inquisitor dropped him, and Kelsier fell to the reflective marble floor. Kelsier looked up at Vin.
I said run!
He tossed something to her. Vin paused, reaching out to catch the coin pouch. However, it lurched suddenly in the air, shooting forward. Abruptly, she realized Kelsier wasn't throwing it to her, but at her. Ow. The bag hit her in the chest. Pushed by Kelsier's allomancy, it hurled her across the room, past the two surprised inquisitors, until she finally dropped awkwardly to the floor.
No.
Vin looked up, slightly dazed. In the distance, Kelsier regained his feet. The main inquisitor, however, didn't seem very concerned about the dagger in his neck. The other two inquisitors stood between her and Kelsier. One turned toward her, and Vin felt chilled by its horrifying, unnatural gaze.
Run!
Vin scrambled to her feet, fear shocking her, screaming at her, making her move. She dashed toward the nearest archway, uncertain if it was the one she had come in through. She clutched Kelsier's coin pouch and burned iron, frantically seeking an anchor down the corridor.
Must get away!
She grabbed the first bit of metal she saw and yanked, tearing herself off the ground. She shot down the corridor at an uncontrolled speed, terror flaring her iron. She lurched suddenly and everything spun. She hit the ground at an awkward angle, her head slamming against the rough stone, then lay dizzily, wondering what had happened. The coin pouch, someone had pulled on it, using its metal to yank her backward. Vin rolled over and saw a dark form shooting down the corridor. The Inquisitor dropped lightly to his feet a short distance from Vin. He strode forward, his face impassive. Vin flared tin and pewter, clearing her mind and pushing away the pain. She whipped out a few coins, pushing them at the Inquisitor. He raised a hand and both coins froze in the air. Vin's own push suddenly threw her backward and she tumbled across the stones. Vin shook her head, a dozen new bruises flaring angrily across her body. The Inquisitor stepped over the discarded coins, walking toward her with a smooth gait.
I have to get away!
Even Kelsier had been afraid to face an Inquisitor. If he couldn't fight one, what chance did she have? None. She dropped the pouch and jumped to her feet. Then she ran, ducking through the first doorway she saw. The room beyond was empty of people, but a golden altar stood at its center. Between the altar, the four candelabra at the corners, and the cluttering of other religious paraphernalia, the space was cramped. Vin turned, pulling a candelabrum into her hands, remembering Kelsier's trick from before. The Inquisitor stepped into the room, then raised an almost amused hand, ripping the candelabra from her hands in an easy allomantic pull.
He's so strong!
He was probably steadying himself by pulling against the lantern brackets behind. However, the force of his iron pulls was far more powerful than Kelsier's had ever been. Vin jumped, pulling herself slightly up and over the altar. At the doorway, the Inquisitor reached over to a bowl that sat atop a short pillar, pulling out what appeared to be a handful of small metal triangles. They were sharp on all sides, and they cut the creature's hand in a dozen different places. He ignored the wounds, raising a bloody hand toward her. Vin ducked behind the altar as pieces of metal sprayed against the back wall.
You are trapped! Come with me.
Vin glanced to the side. There weren't any other doors in the room. She peeked up, glancing at the Inquisitor, and a piece of metal shot at her face. She pushed against it, but the Inquisitor was too strong. She had to duck and let the metal go, lest his power pin her back against the wall.
I'll need something to block with, something that isn't made of metal.
As she heard the Inquisitor step into the room, she found what she needed, a large leather-bound book sitting beside the altar. She grabbed it, then paused. There was no use in being rich if she died. She pulled out Kelsier's vial and downed the atium, then burned it. The Inquisitor's shadow stepped around the side of the altar. Then the actual Inquisitor followed a second later. The atium shadow opened its hand, and a spray of tiny translucent daggers shot at her. Vin raised her book as the real daggers followed. She swung the book through the shadow trails just as the real daggers shot toward her. She caught every one, their sharp, jagged edges digging deeply into the book's leather cover. The Inquisitor paused, and she was rewarded by what seemed to be a look of confusion on its twisted face. Then 100 shadow images shot from his body.
Lord Ruler! He is Adium too!
Not pausing to worry about what that meant, Vin hopped over the altar, carrying the book with her as protection against further missiles. The Inquisitor spun, spike eyes following her as she ducked back into the hallway. A squad of soldiers stood waiting for her. However, each one bore a future shadow. Vin ducked between them, barely watching where their weapons would fall, somehow avoiding the attacks of 12 different men. And for a moment, she almost forgot the pain and fear, and they were replaced by an incredible sense of power. She dodged effortlessly, staves swinging above and beside her, each one missing by just inches. She was invincible. As she passed the last one, she turned around a corner, and a second Inquisitor, his body springing with shadow images, stepped up and slammed something sharp into her lower side. The creature pulled his weapon free of her body. It was a length of wood affixed with sharp obsidian blades. Vin grasped her side, stumbling backward, feeling a terrifying amount of warm blood seeping from the wound. The Inquisitor looked familiar. The first one, from the other room.
Does that mean that Kelsier is dead?
Who is your father?
Vin kept her hand at her side, trying to stop the blood. It was a large wound, a bad wound. She had seen such wounds before. They always killed. Yet she still stood.
Pewter. Flair Pewter.
She did so, the metal giving her body strength, letting her stay on her feet. The soldiers stepped back to let the second Inquisitor approach her from the side. Vin looked in horror from one Inquisitor to the other, both descending upon her, blood pouring between her fingers and down her side. The lead Inquisitor still carried the axe-like weapon, its edge coated with blood. Her blood.
I'm going to die.
And then she heard it. Rain. It was faint, but her tin ears picked it out behind her. She spun, lurching through a door, and was rewarded by the sight of a large archway on the other side of the room. Mist pooled at the room's floor, and rain fell outside.
Must have been where the guards came from.
She kept her pewter flared, amazed at how well her body still worked, and stumbled out into the rain, reflexively clutching the leather book to her chest.
Do you think to escape?
Numbly, Vin reached into the sky and pulled against one of the palace's many spires. The Inquisitor hurled up into the dark night after her. The 1,000 spires rose around her. She pulled against one, then switched to another. The rain was strong now, and it made the night black. There was no mist to reflect ambient light, and the stars were hidden by clouds above. Vin couldn't see where she was going. She had to use allomancy to sense the metallic tips of the spires and hope there was nothing in between. She hit a spire, catching hold of it in the night and pulling to a stop.
Have to bandage the wound.
She was beginning to grow numb, her head cloudy despite her pewter and tin. Something landed against the spire above her. Vin pushed off even as she felt the Inquisitor slash the air beside her. She had one chance. Mid-jump, she pulled herself sideways toward a different spire. At the same time, she pushed against the book in her hands. It still had bits of metal embedded into its cover. The book continued in the direction she had been going, metal lines glowing weakly in the night. It was the only metal she had on her. Vin caught the next spire lightly, trying to make as little sound as possible. She strained in the night, burning tin. Over the rain, she thought she heard the distinct sound of something hitting a spire in the direction she had pushed the book. The Inquisitor had fallen for her ruse. Vin hung from the spire. She made sure her copper was still burning, pulled lightly against the spire to hold herself in place, and ripped off a piece of her shirt to bandage the wound. Despite her numb mind, she couldn't help noticing how big the gash was.
Oh, Lord.
Without pewter, she would have fallen unconscious long ago. She should be dead. Vin felt a chill and looked up. All was black around her.
It can't be. He can't.
Something slammed into her spire. Vin jumped away. She pulled herself toward another spire, caught it weakly, then immediately pushed off again. The Inquisitor followed, jumping from spire to spire behind her.
He found me. He couldn't see me, hear me, or sense me, but he found me.
Vin hit a spire, holding it by one hand, limply hanging in the night. Her strength was nearly gone.
I have to get away. Hide.
Her hands were numb, and her mind felt nearly the same.
Oh!
Her fingers slipped from the cold, wet metal of the spire, and she felt herself drop free into the darkness. She fell with the rain. However, she went only a short distance before landing hard on the roof of a particularly tall bit of the palace. She climbed to her knees, crawling away from the spire, seeking a corner.
Hide! Hide! Hide!
She crawled weakly to the nook formed by another tower. She huddled against the dark corner, lying in a deep puddle of ashy rainwater, arms wrapped around herself. Her body was wet with rain and blood. The rain was letting up, and her tin revealed a head set with two spikes, a body cloaked in a dark robe. She was too weak to move, too weak to do more than shiver in the puddle of water, clothing plastered to her skin. The Inquisitor turned toward her.
Such a small, troubling thing you are.
He stepped forward. It was growing dark again. No, it was just her mind. Her vision grew dark, her eyes closing. Her wound didn't hurt anymore. She couldn't even think. Then arms gripped her. Warm arms, not the arms of death. She forced her eyes open.
Kelsier.
But it wasn't Kelsier's face that looked back at her, streaked with concern. It was a different, kinder face. She drifted away as the strong arms pulled her close, making her feel oddly safe in the terrible storms of night.
I don't know why Quan betrayed me. Even still, this event haunts my thoughts. He was the one who discovered me. He was the Terrace philosopher who first called me the Hero of Ages. It seems ironically surreal now that, after his long struggle to convince his colleagues, he is the only major Terrace holy man to preach against my reign.
You took her with you? You took Vin to Credit Shaw? Are you bloody insane?
Yes, you've been right all along. I'm a madman, a lunatic! Perhaps I should have just died in the pits and never come back to bother any of you.
Kelsier pounded the table in frustration. He still burned pewter, the metal helping him resist his several wounds. His mist cloak lay in tatters, his body sliced by a half dozen different small cuts. His entire right side burned with pain. He'd have a massive bruise there, and he'd be lucky if none of his ribs were cracked. Kelsier flared the pewter. The fire within felt good. It gave him a focus for his anger and self-loathing. One of the apprentices worked quickly, tying a bandage around Kelsier's largest gash. Clubs sat with Ham at the side of the kitchen. Breeze was away visiting a suburb.
By the Lord Ruler Kelsier.
Even Doxon. Even my oldest friend swears by the Lord Ruler's name. What are we doing? How can we face this?
There were three Inquisitors waiting for us, Dox.
And you left her there?
She got out before I did. I tried to distract the Inquisitors as long as I could, but...
But?
One of the three followed her. I couldn't get to it. Maybe the other two Inquisitors were simply trying to keep me busy so that their companion could find her.
Three Inquisitors?
Doxon accepted a small cup of brandy from one of the apprentices. He downed it.
We must have made too much noise going in. Either that or they were already there for some reason. And we still don't know what's in that room.
Kelsier glanced at Doxon and saw pessimism in his eyes. Kelsier had barely escaped, and he had years of training. If Vin was still in Credit Shaw, Kelsier felt a sharp, twisting pain in his chest.
You let her die too. First Mare, then Vin. How many more will you lead to slaughter before this is through?
She might be hiding somewhere in the city, afraid to come to the shop because the Inquisitors are looking for her. Or, perhaps, for some reason, she went back to Feliz.
Maybe she's out there somewhere, dying alone in the rain.
Ham, you and I are heading back to the palace. Dox, take Lesterborn and visit the other thieving crews. Maybe one of their scouts saw something. Clubs, send an apprentice to Renault's mansion to see if she went there.
Lesterborn rushed into the room, his lanky form wet with rain.
Someone's coming! Out the night with the calling!
Vin?
Big man. Robe.
This is it, then. I've brought death to the crew. I've led the Inquisitors right to them.
Ham stood, picking up a wooden stave. Doxon pulled out a pair of daggers, and Clubs' six apprentices moved to the back of the room, eyes wide with fright. Kelsier flared his metals. Suddenly, a tall, dark form in wet robes stood in the rain. and he carried a cloth-wrapped figure in his arms.
Sazed!
She is badly wounded.
Sazed stepped quickly into the room, his fine robes streaming with rainwater.
Master Hammond, I require some pewter. Her supply is exhausted, I think.
Ham rushed forward as Sazed set Vin on the kitchen table. Her skin was clammy and pale, her thin frame soaked and wet.
She's so small, barely more than a child. How could I have thought to take her with me?
She bore a massive bloody wound in her side. Sazed set something aside, a large book he'd been carrying in his arms beneath Vin, and accepted a vial from Hammond, then bent down and poured the liquid down the unconscious girl's throat. Vin's face flushed slightly with color, and her breathing seemed to steady. Sazed undid Vin's makeshift bandage.
Ah, good. I feared that her body was too unfamiliar with allomancy to burn metals unconsciously. There is hope for her, I think. Master Claddant, I shall require a pot of boiled water, some bandages, and the medical bag for my rooms. Quickly now.
Clubs nodded, waving for his apprentices to do as instructed. Kelsier cringed as he watched Sazed's work. The wound was bad, worse than any he himself had survived. The cut went deeply into her gut. It was the type of wound that killed slowly but consistently. Vin, however, was no ordinary person. Pewter would keep an allomancer alive long after the body should have given out. In addition, Sazed was no ordinary healer. Religious rites were not the only things that keepers stored in their uncanny memories. Their metal minds contained vast wealths of information on culture, philosophy, and science. Clubs ushered his apprentices from the room as the surgery began. The procedure took an alarming amount of time, Ham applying pressure to the wound as Sazed slowly stitched Vin's insides back together. Finally, Sazed closed the outer wound and applied a clean bandage.
Master Hammond, please take her up to her bed.
Kelsier stood, watching Ham carry Vin's weak, limp form out of the kitchen. Then he turned to Sazed questioningly. Doxson sat in the corner, the only other one still in the room.
I do not know, Master Kelsier. She could survive. We will need to keep her supplied with pewter. It will help her body make new blood. Even still, I have seen many strong men die from wounds smaller than this one.
Kelsier nodded.
I arrived too late, I think. When I found her gone from Renault's mansion, I came to Luthadel as quickly as I could. I used up an entire metal mine to make the trip with haste. I was still too late.
No, my friend. You've done well this night. Far better than I.
Sazed reached over and fingered the large book he'd set aside before beginning the surgery. The tome was wet with rainwater and blood.
What is that, anyway?
I don't know. I found it at the palace while I was searching for the child. It is written in Hleni.
Hleni, the language of Hlenium, the ancient pre-ascension homeland of the Lord Ruler.
Can you translate it?
Perhaps. But not for a time, I think. After this evening, I shall need to rest.
Kelsier nodded, calling for one of the apprentices to prepare Sazed a room. The terraceman nodded thankfully, then walked wearily up the stairs.
He saved more than Vin's life tonight.
What you did was stupid, even for you.
I had to know, Docs. I had to go back. What if the ATM really is in there?
You said that it isn't.
I said that, and I'm mostly sure, but what if I'm wrong?
That's no excuse. Now Vin is dying and the Lord Ruler is alerted to us. Wasn't it enough that you got Mare killed trying to get into that room?
Oh. There's more, Docs. I've avoided talking about the Lord Ruler to the others, but I'm worried. The plan is good, but I have this terrible, haunting feeling that will never succeed as long as he's alive. We can take his money, we can take his armies, we can trick him out of the city, but I still worry that we won't be able to stop him.
You're serious about this 11th metal business, then?
I searched for 2 years to find a way to kill him. Men have tried everything. He ignores normal wounds, and decapitation only annoys him. A group of soldiers burned down his inn during one of the early wars. The Lord Ruler walked out as barely more than a skeleton, then healed in a matter of seconds. Only the stories of the 11th metal offered any hope. But I can't make it work. That's why I had to go back to the palace. The Lord Ruler's hiding something in that room. I can feel it. I can't help thinking that if we knew what it was, we'd be able to stop him.
You didn't have to take Vin with you.
She followed me. I worried that she'd try to get in on her own if I left her. The girl has a headstrong streak, Docs. She hides it well, but she's blasted stubborn when she wants to be.
And we still don't know what's in that room.
Kelsier eyed the book Sazed had set on the table. The rainwater had marked it, but the tome was obviously designed to endure. It was strapped tightly to prevent water from seeping in, and the cover was of well-cured leather.
No, we don't. But we do have that, whatever it is.
Was it worth it, Kel? Was this insane stunt really worth getting yourself and the child killed?
I don't know. Ask me once we know whether or not Vin will live.
Many think that my journey started in Helenium, that great city of wonder. They forget that I was no king when my quest began. Far from it. I think it would do men well to remember that this task was not begun by emperors, priests, prophets, or generals. It didn't start in Helenium or Cordell, nor did it come from the great nations to the east or the fiery empire of the west. It began in a small, unimportant town whose name would mean nothing to you. It began with a youth, the son of a blacksmith, who was unremarkable in every way, except perhaps in his ability to get into trouble. It began with me.
When Vin awoke, the pain told her that Reen had beaten her again. What had she done? Had she been too friendly to one of the other crew members? Had she made a foolish comment, drawing the crew leader's ire? She was to remain quiet, always quiet, staying away from the others, never calling attention to herself. Otherwise, he would beat her. She had to learn, he said. She had to learn. But her pain seemed too strong for that. It had been a long time since she could remember hurting this much. Vin opened her eyes. She lay in a bed that was far too comfortable, and a lanky teenage boy sat in a chair beside her bed.
Lesterborn. That's his name. I'm in Clubs' shop.
Huh. Lesterborn jumped to his feet.
You're awaking.
The boy hurriedly gave her a cup of water. Vin sipped it thankfully, grimacing at the pain in her side. In fact, her entire body felt like it had been pummeled soundly.
Lesterborn.
Nodding us the now. Kelsier wasing the hit with my name. Changed it to Spook.
Spook? It fits. How long have I been asleep?
2 weeks. Wait here.
Spook scrambled away.
2 weeks?
Vin sipped at the cup, trying to organize her muddled memories. Reddish afternoon sunlight shone through the window, lighting the room. She set the cup down, checking her side where she found a large white bandage.
That's where the Inquisitor hit me. I should be dead.
Her side was bruised and discolored from where she'd hit the roof after falling, and her body bore a dozen other nicks, bruises, and scrapes. All in all, she felt absolutely terrible.
Vin, you're awake.
Barely.
Vin lay back against her pillow. Doxin walked over and sat on Lesterborn's stool.
How much do you remember?
Most everything, I think. We fought our way into the palace, but there were Inquisitors. They chased us, and Kelsier fought... Kelsier, is he...
Kel's fine. He came out of the incident in far better shape than you did. He knows the palace fairly well from the plans we made 3 years ago, and he...
What?
He said the Inquisitors didn't seem very focused on killing him. They left one to chase him and sent two after you.
Why? Did they simply want to concentrate their energy on the weakest enemy first? Or is there another reason?
She sat back, working through the events of that night.
Sazed. He saved me. The Inquisitor was about to kill me, but... Docs, what is he?
Sazed? That's probably a question I should let him answer.
Is he here?
He had to return to Feliz. Breeze and Kel are out recruiting, and Ham left last week to inspect our army. He won't be back for another month at least.
Vin nodded, feeling drowsy.
Drink the rest of your water. There's something in it to help with the pain.
Vin downed the rest of the drink, then rolled over and let sleep take her again. Kelsier was there when she awoke. He sat on the stool by her bed, hands clasped, with his elbows on his knees, watching her by the faint light of a lantern. He smiled when she opened her eyes.
Welcome back.
She immediately reached for the cup of water on the bedstand.
How's the job going?
The army is growing, and Renault has begun to purchase weapons and supplies. Your suggestion regarding the ministry turned out to be a good one. We found Theron's contact, and we've nearly negotiated a deal that will let us place someone as a ministry acolyte.
Marsh? Will he do it himself?
He always had a certain fascination with the ministry. If any Ska can pull off imitating an obligator, it will be Marsh.
Vin nodded, sipping her drink. It was something different about Kelsier. It was subtle, a slight alteration in his air and attitude. Things had changed during her sickness.
Vin, I owe you an apology. I nearly got you killed.
It's not your fault. I made you take me.
You shouldn't have been able to make me. My original decision to send you away was the right one. Please accept the apology.
What do you need me to do now? The job has to go forward, right?
Indeed it does. As soon as you're up to it, I'd like you to move back to Feliz. We created a cover story saying that Lady Valette has taken sick, but rumors are starting to appear. The sooner you can be seen in the flesh by visitors, the better.
I can go tomorrow.
I doubt it, but you can go soon. For now, just rest.
He stood, moving to leave.
Kelsier.
He turned, looking at her.
The palace. The Inquisitors. We're not invincible, are we?
No, Vin. We're far from it.
Vin watched the landscape pass outside her carriage window. The vehicle, sent from Mansion Renault, had supposedly taken Lady Valette for a ride through Luthadel. In reality, it hadn't picked up Vin until it had stopped briefly by Clubs' Street. Now, however, her window shades were open, showing her again to the world, assuming anyone cared. The carriage made its way back toward Felice. Kelsier had been right. She'd had to rest 3 more days in Clubs' shop before feeling strong enough to make the trip. In part, she'd waited simply because she had dreaded struggling into a noblewoman's dresses with her bruised arms and wounded side. Still, it felt good to be up again. There had been something wrong about simply recovering in bed. Such a lengthy period of rest wouldn't have been given to a regular thief. Thieves either got back to work quickly or were abandoned for dead. Those who couldn't bring in money for food couldn't be allowed to take up space in the lair.
But that isn't the only way people live.
Vin was still uncomfortable with that knowledge. It hadn't mattered to Kelsier and the others that she drained their resources. They hadn't exploited her weakened state, but had cared for her, each one spending time at her bedside. Most notable among the vigilists had been the young Lestiburn. Vin didn't even feel that she knew him very well, yet Kelsier said that the boy had spent hours watching over her during her coma. What did one make of a world where a crew leader agonized over his people? In the underground, each person bore responsibility for what happened to them. The weaker segment of a crew had to be allowed to die, lest they keep everyone else from earning enough to survive. If a person got captured by the ministry, you left them to their fate and hoped that they didn't betray too much. You didn't worry about your own guilt at putting them in danger.
They're fools. This entire plan will end in disaster, and your death will be your own fault for not leaving when you could.
Reen had left when he could. Perhaps he'd known that the Inquisitors would eventually hunt her down for the power she unwittingly possessed. He always had known when to leave. It was no accident, she thought, that he hadn't ended up slaughtered with the rest of Cayman's crew. And yet, she ignored Reen's promptings in her head, instead letting the carriage pull her toward Felice. It wasn't that she felt completely secure in her place with Kelsier's crew. Indeed, in a way, her place with these people was making her even more apprehensive. What if they stopped needing her? What if she became useless to them? She had to prove to them that she could do what they needed her to. There were functions to attend, a society to infiltrate. She had so much work to do. She couldn't afford to spend any more of it sleeping. In addition, she needed to return to her allomantic practice sessions. It had only taken a few short months for her to grow dependent upon her powers, and she longed for the freedom of leaping through the mists, of pulling and pushing her way through the skies. Credic Shaw had taught her that she wasn't invincible, but Kelsier's survival with barely a scratch proved that it was possible to be much better than she was. Vin needed to practice, to grow in strength, until she too could escape Inquisitors like Kelsier had. The carriage turned a bend and rolled into Felice. The familiar pastoral suburb made Vin smile to herself, and she leaned against the open carriage window, feeling the breeze. With luck, some streetgoers would gossip that Lady Valette had been seen riding through the city. She arrived at Mansion Renault a few short turns later. A footman opened the door, and Vin was surprised to see Lord Renault himself waiting outside the carriage to help her down.
My lord.
She gave him her hand.
Surely you have more important things to attend to.
Nonsense. A lord must be allowed time to dote upon his favorite niece. How was your ride?
It was refreshing, uncle.
They walked up the steps to the mansion doors. Vin was thankful for the pewter burning lightly in her stomach to give strength to her still weak legs. Kelsier had warned against using it too much, lest she grow dependent upon its power, but she saw little alternative until she was healed.
That's wonderful. Perhaps once you are feeling better, we should take lunch together on the garden balcony. It has been warm lately, despite the coming winter.
That would be very pleasant.
Very good.
Renault paused inside the entryway.
However, let us attend to that on another day. For now, you would likely prefer to rest from your journey.
Actually, my lord, I'd like to visit Sazed. I have some matters I must discuss with the steward.
Huh. You will find him in the library, working on one of my projects.
Thank you.
Renault nodded and walked away, using his dueling cane. Vin frowned, trying to decide if he was completely sane. Could someone really adopt a persona that wholly?
You do it. When you become Lady Valette, you show a completely different side of yourself.
She turned, flaring pewter to help her climb the northern set of stairs. She let her flare lapse as she reached the top, returning to a normal burn. As Kelsier said, it was dangerous to flare metals for too extended a period. An allomancer could quickly make their body dependent. She paused. Climbing the stairs had been difficult, even with pewter, then walked down the corridor to the library. Sazed sat at a desk beside a small coal stove on the far side of the small room, writing on a pad of paper. He wore his standard steward's robes, and a pair of thin spectacles sat at the end of his nose. Vin paused in the doorway, regarding the man who had saved her life.
Why is he wearing spectacles? I've seen him read before without them.
He seemed completely absorbed by his work, periodically studying a large tome on the desk, then turning to scribble notes on his pad.
You're an allomancer.
Sazed paused, then set down his pen and turned.
What makes you say that, Mistress Vin?
You got to Luthadel too quickly.
Lord Renault keeps several swift messenger horses in his stables. I could have taken one of those.
You found me at the palace.
Kelsier told me of his plans, and I correctly assumed that you had followed him. Locating you was a stroke of luck, one that nearly took me too long to achieve.
You killed the Inquisitor.
Killed? No, mistress. It takes far more power than I possess to kill one of those monstrosities. I simply distracted him.
Vin stood in the doorway for a moment longer, trying to figure out why Sazed was being so ambiguous.
So, are you an allomancer or not?
He smiled. Then he pulled a stool out from beside the desk.
Please, sit down.
Vin did as requested, crossing the room and sitting on the stool, her back to a massive bookshelf.
What would you think if I told you that I wasn't an allomancer?
I'd think that you were lying.
Have you known me to lie before?
The best liars are those who tell the truth most of the time.
Sazed smiled, regarding her through his bespectacled eyes.
That is true, I think. Still, what proof have you that I am an allomancer?
You did things that couldn't have been done without allomancy.
Oh? A misborn for 2 months, and already you know all that is possible in the world?
Vin paused, Up until just recently, she hadn't even known much about Allomancy. Perhaps there was more to the world than she had assumed.
There's always another secret.
So, what exactly is a keeper?
Now, that is a far more clever question, Mistress. Keepers are storehouses. We remember things so that they can be used in the future.
Like religions.
Religious truths are my particular specialty.
But you remember other things, too?
Sazed nodded.
Like what?
Well?
Sazed closed the tome he had been studying.
Languages, for instance.
The book I found in the palace. How did you get it?
I happened to cross it while searching for you. It is written in a very old language, one that hasn't been spoken regularly in nearly a millennium.
But you speak it?
Enough to translate this, I think.
And how many languages do you know?
172. Most of them, such as Hleni, are no longer spoken. The Lord Ruler's unity movement of the 5th century made certain of that. The language people now speak is actually a distant dialect of Terrace, the language of my homeland.
172? That sounds impossible. One man couldn't remember that much.
Not one man. One keeper. What I do is similar to Allomancy, but not the same. You draw power from metals. I use them to create memories.
How?
Perhaps another time, Mistress. My kind, we prefer to maintain our secrets. The Lord Ruler hunts us with a remarkable, confusing passion. We are far less threatening than Mistborn, yet he ignores Allomancers and seeks to destroy us, hating the Terrace people because of us.
Hating? You're treated better than regular Ska. You're given positions of respect.
That is true, Mistress. But in a way, the Ska are more free. Most Terrasmen are raised from birth to be stewards. There are very few of us left, and the Lord Ruler's breeders control our reproduction. No Terrasmen steward is allowed to have a family, or even to bear children.
That seems like it would be hard to enforce.
Why, not at all. All Terrasmen stewards are eunuchs, child. I assumed you knew that.
Sorry.
Truly and surely, no apology is required. I was castrated soon after my birth, as is standard for those who will be stewards. Often I think I would have easily traded my life for that of a common Ska. My people are less than slaves. We're fabricated automatons created by breeding programs, trained from birth to fulfill the Lord Ruler's wishes.
Vin continued to blush, cursing her lack of tact. Why hadn't anyone told her? Sazed, however, didn't seem offended. He never seemed to get angry about anything.
Probably a function of his condition. That's what the breeders must want. Docile, even-tempered stewards. But you're a rebel, Sazed. You're fighting the Lord Ruler.
I am something of a deviant. And my people are not as completely subjugated as the Lord Ruler would believe, I think. We hide keepers beneath his very eyes, and some of us even gather the courage to break our training. It is not an easy thing, however. We are a weak people, Mistress. We are eager to do as we are told, quick to seek subjugation. Even I, whom you dub a rebel, immediately sought out a position of stewardship and subservience. We are not so brave as we would wish, I think.
You were brave enough to save me.
But there was an element of obedience in that, too. I promised Master Kelsier that I would see to your safety.
She had wondered if he'd had a reason for his actions. After all, who would risk their life simply to save Vin? She sat for a moment in thought, and Sazed turned back to his book.
Sazed?
Yes, Mistress.
Who betrayed Kelsier 3 years ago?
Sazed set down his fountain pen.
The facts are unclear, Mistress. Most of the crew assumes it was Mare, I think.
Mare? Kelsier's wife?
Apparently she was one of the only people who could have done it. In addition, the Lord Ruler himself implicated her.
But wasn't she sent to the pits too?
She died there. Master Kelsier is reticent about the pits, but I sense that the scars he bears from that horrid place go much deeper than the ones you see on his arms. I don't think he ever knew if she was the traitor or not.
My brother said that anyone would betray you if they had the right chance and a good enough motive.
Even if such a thing were true, I would not want to live believing it.
Kelsior is different lately. He seems more reserved. Is that because he feels guilty for what happened to me?
I suspect that is part of it. However, he is also coming to realize that there is a large difference between heading a small crew of thieves and organizing a large rebellion. He can't take the risks he once did. The process is changing him for the better, I think.
Vin wasn't so certain. However, she remained silent, realizing with frustration how tired she was. Even sitting on a stool seemed strenuous to her now.
Go and sleep, mistress.
Sazed picked up his pen and relocated his place in the tome with his finger.
You survived something that probably should have killed you. Give your body the thanks it deserves. Let it rest.
Sometimes I wonder what would have happened if I'd remained there, in that lazy village of my birth. I'd have become a smith, like my father. Perhaps I'd have a family, sons of my own. Perhaps someone else would have come to carry this terrible burden. Someone who could bear it far better than I. Someone who deserved to be a hero.
Before coming to Mansion Renault, Vin had never seen a cultivated garden. On burglaries or scouting missions, she had occasionally seen ornamental plants, but she'd never given them much heed. They, like many noble interests, had seemed frivolous to her. She hadn't realized how beautiful the plants could be when arranged carefully. Mansion Renault's garden balcony was a thin, oval structure that overlooked the grounds below. The gardens weren't large. They required too much water and attention to form more than a thin perimeter around the back of the building. Still, they were marvelous. Instead of mundane browns and whites, the cultivated plants were of deeper, more vibrant colors, shades of red, orange, and yellow, with the colors concentrated in their leaves. The groundskeepers had planted them to make intricate, beautiful patterns. Closer to the balcony, exotic trees with colorful yellow leaves gave shade and protected from ash falls. It was a very mild winter, and most of the trees still held their leaves. The air felt cool, and the rustling of branches in the wind was soothing. Almost soothing enough, in fact, to make Vin forget how annoyed she was.
Would you like more tea, child?
Lord Renault didn't wait for an answer. He simply waved for a servant to rush forward and refill her cup. Vin sat on a plush cushion, her wicker chair designed for comfort. During the last 4 weeks, her every whim and desire had been met. Servants cleaned up after her, primped her, fed her, and even helped bathe her. Renault saw that anything she asked for was given her, and she certainly wasn't expected to do anything strenuous, dangerous, or even slightly inconvenient. In other words, her life was maddeningly boring. Before, her time at Mansion Renault had been monopolized by Sazed's lessons and Kelsier's training. She'd slept during the days, having only minimal contact with the mansion staff. Now, however, allomancy, or at least the nighttime jumping kind, was forbidden her. Her wound was only partially healed, and too much motion reopened it. Sazed still gave her occasional lessons, but his time was dominated by translating the book. He spent long hours in the library, poring over its pages with an uncharacteristically excited air.
He's found a new bit of lore. To a keeper, that's probably as intoxicating as street spice.
She sipped at her tea with repressed petulance, eyeing the nearby servants. They seemed like scavenger birds, roosting and waiting for any opportunity to make Vin as comfortable and as frustrated as possible. Renault wasn't much help either. His idea of taking lunch with Vin was to sit and attend to his own duties, making notes on ledgers or dictating letters while eating. Her attendance seemed important to him, but he rarely paid much attention to her other than to ask how her day had been. Yet she forced herself to act the part of a prim noblewoman. Lord Renault had hired some new servants that didn't know about the job. Not the house staff, but gardeners and workmen. Kelsier and Renault had worried that the other houses would grow suspicious if they couldn't get at least a few servant spies onto the Renault grounds. Kelsier didn't see it as a danger to the job, but it did mean that Vin had to maintain her persona whenever possible.
I can't believe that people live like this.
Some servants began clearing away the meal.
How can noble women fill their days with so much nothing? No wonder everyone's eager to attend those balls.
Is your respite pleasant, dear?
Yes, Uncle. Quite.
You should be up to a shopping trip soon.
Renault looked up at her.
Perhaps you would like to visit Kenton Street. Get some new earrings to replace that pedestrian stud you wear.
Vin reached a hand to her ear where her mother's earring still sat.
No. I'll keep this.
Renault frowned but said no more, for a servant approached.
My lord, a carriage just arrived from Lúthedain.
Vin perked up. That was the servant's way of saying that a member of the crew had arrived.
Huh. Very good. Show them up, Tonson.
Yes, my lord.
A few minutes later, Kelsier, Breeze, Yeadon, and Doxson walked out onto the balcony. Renault discreetly waved to the servants, who closed the glass balcony doors and left the crew in privacy. Several men took up position just inside, watching to make certain that the wrong people didn't have an opportunity to eavesdrop.
Are we interrupting your meal?
No.
Please, sit.
Kelsier strolled over to the balcony's edge, looking out over the garden and grounds.
Nice view you have here.
Kelsier, is that wise? Some of the gardeners are men for whom I cannot vouch.
If they can recognize me from this distance, they deserve more than the great houses are paying them.
However, he did leave the balcony edge, walking over to the table and spinning a chair, then sitting down on it the wrong way. Over the last few weeks, he had mostly returned to his old, familiar self. Yet there were still changes. He'd held meetings more often, discussed more of his plans with the crew. He also still seemed different, more thoughtful.
Sazed was right. Our attack on the palace might have been near deadly for me, but it has changed Kelsier for the better.
We thought we'd have our meeting here this week, since you two rarely get to participate.
That was most thoughtful of you, Master Doxson, but your concern is unnecessary. We are doing just fine.
No, we aren't. Some of us need information. What's happening with the crew? How is the recruitment going?
Renault eyed her with dissatisfaction. Vin, however, ignored him.
He's not really a lord. He's just another crew member. My opinion counts as much as his. Now that the servants are gone, I can speak how I want.
Well, captivity's made her a bit more outspoken, if nothing else.
I don't have anything to do. It's driving me insane.
Breeze set his cup of wine on the table.
Some would find your state quite enviable, Vin.
Then they must already be insane.
Oh, they're mostly noblemen. So yes, they're quite mad.
The job. What's happening?
Recruitment is still too slow, but we're improving.
We may have to sacrifice further security for numbers, Kelsier.
That's a change, too.
Vin noted Yeadon's civility. He had taken to wearing nicer clothing, not quite a full gentleman's suit like Doxson or Breeze, but at least a well-cut jacket and trousers with a buttoning shirt beneath, all kept clean of soot.
That can't be helped, Yeadon. Fortunately, Ham's doing well with the troops. I had a message from him just a few days ago. He's impressed with their progress.
Be warned, Hammond does tend to be a bit optimistic about these kinds of things. If the army were made up of one-legged mutes, he would praise their balance and their listening skills.
I should like to see the army.
Soon.
We should be able to get Marsh into the ministry within the month.
Doxson nodded to Sazed as the terracemen passed their sentries and entered the balcony.
Hopefully, Marsh will be able to give some insight as to how to deal with the Steel Inquisitors.
They are a concern. Considering what a couple of them did to you two, I don't envy capturing the palace with them in there. They are as dangerous as Mistborn.
More.
Can the army really fight them? I mean, they're supposed to be immortal, aren't they?
Marsh will find the answer.
Yeadon nodded, accepting Kelsier's word.
Yes. Changed indeed.
It appeared that not even Yeadon could resist Kelsier's charisma for an extended period of time.
In the meantime, I'm hoping to hear what Sazed has learned about the Lord Ruler.
Sazed sat, laying his tome on the tabletop.
I will tell you what I can, though this is not the book that I first assumed it to be. I thought that Mistress Vin had recovered some ancient religious text, but it is of a far more mundane nature.
Mundane? How?
It is a journal, Master Doxson. A record that appears to have been penned by the Lord Ruler himself, or rather, the man who became the Lord Ruler. Even ministry teachings agree that before the Ascension, he was a mortal man. This book tells of his life just prior to his final battle at the Well of Ascension 1,000 years ago. Mostly it is a record of his travels, a narration of the people he met, the places he visited, and the trials he faced during his quest.
Interesting, but how does it help us?
I am not certain, Master Ladrian. However, understanding the real history behind the Ascension will be of use, I think. At the very least, it will give us some insight to the Lord Ruler's mind.
The Ministry thinks it's important. Vin said she found it in some kind of shrine in the Central Palace complex.
Which, of course, doesn't at all raise any questions regarding its authenticity.
I do not believe it to be a fabrication, Master Ladrian. It contains a remarkable level of detail, especially regarding unimportant issues, like packmen and supplies. In addition, the Lord Ruler it depicts is very conflicted. If the Ministry were going to devise a book of worship, it would present their god with more divinity, I think.
I'll want to read it when you are done, Says.
And I.
Some of Clubs's apprentices occasionally work as scribes. We'll have them make a copy for each of you.
Handy lot, those.
So, where does that leave us?
The group paused, then Doxson nodded to Vin.
With the nobility.
I can go back to work. I'm mostly healed now.
Kelsier shot a look at Sazed, who raised an eyebrow. He checked on her wound periodically. Apparently, he didn't like what he saw.
Cal, I'm going insane. I grew up as a thief, scrambling for food in space. I can't just sit around and let these servants pamper me.
Besides, I have to prove that I can still be useful to this crew.
Well, you're one of the reasons we came here today. There's a ball this weekend that...
I'll go.
Hear me out, Vin. You've been through a lot lately, and this infiltration could get dangerous.
Kelsier, my whole life has been dangerous. I'm going.
Kelsier didn't look convinced.
She has to do it, Kel. For one thing, the nobility is going to get suspicious if she doesn't start going to parties again. For another, we need to know what she sees. Having servant spies on the staff isn't the same as having a spy listening to local plots. You know that.
All right, then. But you have to promise not to use physical allomancy until Sazed says otherwise.